and I'll just be screaming and crying.
Talkin' Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you idiot? Your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
Let's get after it. He's not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patty Smith. We are Modern Idiots. It's Rob and Matt from the Tortured Podcast Department in the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Looking on a Sunday afternoon like the Leafs are roughly a fortnight away from reaching their tortured playoff departure, as they are guilty as sin of going down bad to the albatross that is the Boston Bruins. Wasn't even sure how bad I wanted to come in and talk about it today, but I can do it with a broken heart. We'll get to all that in a bit, but first we bring him in, the smallest man who ever lived. Rob, what's happening, man?
Well, who are we to mess with the alchemy? Hey!
Nailed it.
Sort of. I was close in the lyric. I don't think I fully...
That's all right.
Hit the nail on the head. Yeah. But we got it.
We're trendy, man. We're there with the cool kids.
Are we?
Well, we're working on it.
You are.
We're doing our best.
You are in with the cool kids.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm so high school.
So high school.
I hate it here.
I love high school. High school was good, man. But anyways, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. And I am reaching full on Tay-Tay saturation. No, actually, I hit it maybe
Friday, 9 a.m.
48 hours ago, yeah, probably. Okay.
Welcome to a new week of the Tall Can Audio podcast. Everybody, make sure you're following along on social media at Tall Can Audio. If there's got to be 60, 70, 80% of our listeners, what just happened? What was that? Right. But, you know, anybody with a daughter, anybody with.
That's most Mondays. Know,
yeah. Okay. That's fair. Of course. Many, many references from Taylor Swift's new album in there. Make sure you're subscribed to the pod wherever you're hearing us right now. Let's have a beer, man.
Beer?
Beer.
What a novel idea.
Yeah.
How about you start?
All right.
What do you have
this
over
is
there?
So man? Crazy.
What do you have over there?
I have a very large bottle.
Oh. I have a very large bottom.
Yeah, that too. One might be related to the other.
And it's flat.
No.
No.
No. Somewhat bulbous.
What do you got? What is it?
This is from the Old Flame Brewing Company in Port Perry.
In a bottle.
Oh, yeah. And this is a, like I said, a fairly large bottle. We got a quart or better here of something called Where There's Smoke. And if you recall, all of their stuff, kind of that, like that old flame, right? The redhead, the blonde, the, you know, they're all kind of related to old former loves. And so the Where There's Smoke, I guess, is the, you know, maybe there's something here between us or whatever. But this is, of course, a smoked pint. This is, I'm not even sure I've ever seen this term before. So I'm counting on you here, man, to know something.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
This is a 5% Grodziski?
Nope. Sounds Polish.
/ Grodzor. Still no over here.
No.
Not on it. Says it's supposed to remind you of like smoked marshmallows, almost like a campfire thing. And I can smell coming off of it already. It's got that going on. I should be honest with the good listener. Picked this up about a month ago when I was down for the old man's birthday. Did my birthday shopping for him at the Old Flame Brewing Company after getting off the train and headed north. So stopped there, picked up a couple things for him, a couple things for me. He's not really a smoked beer kind of guy, but I very much am. So I grabbed a couple of these. We did have one up there. We split it. He wasn't feeling it. I absolutely was. This one, I can report from then and from now, as soon as you open, it smells like a campfire just bellowing out the neck of this bottle, which excites me in all kinds of ways, man.
But
some of those ways we can't talk about.
Yes. To me, that is, it's got that real sort of Slavic sound to it. Like I said, Polish, out of the former.
Yeah.
Sort of Croatia, Serbia. Guess.
That is a mouthful of campfire right there.
See, I don't love that idea.
When they say smoked marshmallow, everything about that is coming through. This is as smoky a beer as I've ever had.
What's the percentage on it, did you say?
Just 5.
Just 5?
Yep.
And it's called the what? Mouthful
where of smoke? Where there's smoke.
Where there's smoke, run like hell.
But take this with you.
Okay, you're loving it. You like it.
I very much like it, yeah.
But your dad, not so much.
No. And I knew going in when I when I bought some stuff for him for the birthday, this was not intended for him. This one was intended for me to bring home and whatever. So we grabbed some other stuff.
Hey, look, I bought you something for your birthday.
And I bought something for your birthday.
It's one of those gifts where you're like,
oh, you don't like it?
Oh, I could use it if you're not going to, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We all love those.
We separated a couple of things, that's all.
Well, and really.
Love stopping in at the old flame.
Yeah. And your dad got a lot of respect. Mad respect for your dad.
Mad respect. Trendy, Rob. Trendy.
Not the most adventurous of beer drinkers.
Fair or not?
Fair or not? Fair or unfair? What?
At one point, fair. I'm not sure it's still fair. We've got him into the craft thing here. He's willing to try some stuff.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Matt's dad.
He'll always circle back to his Canadian, right? We've all got a default position.
Yeah, what's your default position?
Stout.
Yeah, just wherever, right?
Yeah.
More and more, I don't know what my default is.
Yeah.
Right? Just in terms of what I'm drinking and what I'm not.
Fair, yeah.
I have no idea anymore. Like, there was always a time where I would have some Grolsch or some Harp in my fridge.
If I was just rolling into the beer store and, you know, didn't have time to...
Had to ask the guy behind you for a quarter kind of thing to
not
buy
this
your
beer store
two cans of beer.
If I was doing that and I, you know, you're in a hurry and you don't have time to look around and see what craft they
have.
Steam
Whistle.
It's probably Steam Whistle.
I knew it!
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Because it's common enough that it's going to be everywhere, but it's, you know, it's not Bud Light. It's not...
Hey, tell me, there's something that's still bothering me. I was trying to come up with it last night.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy it at the Bell Center. It's a Molson product, but because they don't sell Canadian there, that's export and...
Dry?
Dry.
It's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not good, but I'm like... What
also, a Via Rail...
staple. Well, based out of Montreal.
Yep.
Right? So, now I was coming back via one.
Which do you want more, the export or the dry? That's it. That's all that's on the train. You got 6 hours ahead of you.
Last time I was down there for a concert, they had the 28 ounce. I took down the export.
Yeah.
It was the export.
That's where
I
go to. Yep.
I don't love the export.
No, right? Of course not. But
back in the day, I was always a 50 guy over. So
yeah,
that's the Labatt ale over the Molson ale, right? So,
since I've told the story before, I'll quickly boost it here that I went on that baseball tour in the U.S., ended up back up near the border. I can never remember if we were in Albany or Syracuse, whichever one's is closer to Cooperstown, because we were doing the Hall of Fame thing. And earlier in the trip, someone had asked me, you know, if you were at home, we always hear about Canadian beer, what would you be drinking? I said, Canadian, because hadn't started into the craft thing. Yeah, 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 Canadian. But what? No, it's an actual brand. It's called Molson Canadian. So we get up to the border.
You dummy.
And the guy goes, hey, they've got your beer. And he comes back. He's got everybody a Molson export.
Mm.
He remembered the Molson part.
Not the same.
And I still think he thought maybe Canadian was just an adjective and not a proper noun or whatever. And so he bought us all two or three rounds before I managed to get ahead of him. And I went and got, Miller, just about anything else. He said, I thought you were into that. I was like, okay, sorry. I've had a couple now. I'm going to explain to you.
Listen, Pally.
Molson Canadian is what we drink in Canada. Molson export is the shit we export to you. Stop buying me export.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, but stop.
And it to me, it tastes like maybe there's asbestos in it. Right? That's what export is. To me, it's not great.
Right.
It's like I used to think, so I'm not a Labatt guy because I'm not a blue guy.
Right.
Back in the day, I would drink a Canadian over a...
A blue.
Over a blue. But on tap, blue over Canadian.
Hmm.
Go figure that out.
Yeah.
But it always, to me, in a bottle, tasted like there was formaldehyde in it. Not good.
No.
Not good. So...
I was sitting with your brother, who we were just speaking negatively about before the show started. And we're in the bar at that same hotel in Montreal that we were always staying in.
Yes.
And drinking Labatt Blue all night because it's...
You weren't going in for the Boreal?
The Boreal was the other one. No, we didn't. Anyway. And you say formaldehyde, and that's fine.
I say formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde. Yes, you did say that.
but you can say flamaldehyde
sure,
if you like.
Cool. And did.
Yeah. This will the not next make morning, the show.
Yeah, it might. The next morning, though, wake up and going...
Feels like my brain has been
preserved.
Preserved.
But we localized it, like, and verbalized... the frontal lobe hangover. Yep. Like it was entirely isolated in your forehead, like from temple to temple.
Thump.
That was the only part of me that felt rough, but it was strong rough. Like from, like I said, from temple to temple behind your forehead, localized completely there, the Labatt Blue hangover.
From coast to coast, I like to get comatose.
Yeah.
Little anthrax, bring the noise.
Turn it up.
Turn it up. Anyways.
What are you drinking?
I've poured it.
This is why, you know, it sucks to go second.
It's totally good, man. It's totally good. I am drinking something I've not had before. Hmm. This is from Canvas
Water.
Brewing. Yeah, it's a vegetable. from Canvas Brewing out of Huntsville.
Mm.
This is their Big Bend Hazelnut Stout.
Slightly to the left.
Yeah, slight curve upright.
Hazelnut Stout.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'll be interested because I'm not a huge hazelnut fan.
Okay.
Right? It's probably a throwback to a couple New Year's with too much Frangelico. seemed like a great idea, and you're like, yum!
Everything does on New Year's Eve.
No!
Right? It's going to be a good year.
Yeah, this is not a
Why does January 1st always start so terribly?
Yeah, it's horrible. So I've poured this out here. I'm going to have a go at this.
Poured it out. I'm not even taking a shot.
Right into a pint glass. But the head, quite nice.
Yeah.
It came up. It was a medium head. Nice. Kind of got that caramel head. But it settled and kept a bit of the head.
Right.
So that to me is always important. If I can look on the top and you don't see black.
Right.
Right. Like you've just sort of blown through it all. So I'll try this out and see what I think.
Okay. Over here, it's nice and smoky. It's going down pretty well. So if you're around the Old Flame Brewing Company in Port Perry, highly recommend the Where There's Smoke. Went in there, actually, I checked on the website to try and decide, like, is it worth stopping on the drive up? And they only had, like, their five or six staples listed on the website. I'm like, well, that's a bummer, but I know they often experiment. Like, I'll stop anyway. It was all kinds of stuff. They just weren't bothering to update their website, so we were able to grab some things and whatever. Like I said, this is, as you know, man, one of my favorite breweries. So glad this one came through strong.
Well, and I love to roll into one of the locals and you're like, I always like to hit them with, what do you got that's new? What do you got that's seasonal?
That's what was happening here. I know your regular stuff. What else is kicking around?
And I hate it when they start rhyming off what they got. I'm like, that's the same shit.
Right.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening here? Okay, this is easy drinking.
Mm.
Comes in at 5%. It's got a little bit of a sweet finish to it. And I'm not sure if that's think of a Ferrero Rocher. I think that's hazelnut as well. Has a bit of that kind of. Well,
that would make sense, right?
In the finish, right?
Yeah.
It's smooth without a widget. So there's no. So I'm impressed with it. So I'm not sure how big that bottle is, but
it's pretty big.
We're breaking at the regular time because I'm going to power through this and we'll need to be on, so.
Okay, well.
So drink up, chummy, drink up.
Speaking of sweet, speaking of smooth, new Tay Tay album, Friday. You've been bathing in it over at your place? I know you got a.
Marinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I know you got someone living in your house who's a pretty big fan.
15-year-old.
Somebody living in this house who's a pretty big fan.
Yeah.
Apparently.
There's a bigger fan in this house, but a bigger fan in that house.
Okay.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Thank you for that.
Well, you're just bigger than her. That's it.
I sure am.
This is it. And she's and it was funny because she's hitting me with all the facts, all the little Easter eggs and the nuggets in the songs and whatnot. And
I said this to my friend who was texting me, but like this album needs to come with like a decoder book.
For
like,
sure.
To decrypt.
Invisible ink room dealer right, kind of thing. You're like,
I miss that. Now, part of it is I'm not a pop culture guy anyway. Right. Like, I don't know half the ex-boyfriends and the this and that, but yeah, okay, There's a lot of coded messages in this thing.
So last night, or Saturday night, you know, as we're waiting for the Leaf Bruins game to kick off, and she says to me, take a guess, how many streams in the first 24 hours? So I'm like, all right, how many streams?
17.
I know it's a lot. And I'm like, she's like, and realistically, and I'm like, 40 million. I'm like, I'm taking my shot.
Yep. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, well, so neither do I.
Yeah.
And I know she's worldwide, right? Yeah. Like, it's so.
Perhaps right now, the biggest musical star in the world.
100%. Yeah. Although interesting to see that her and Weeknd flip back and forth in terms of most streamed. And
see, I don't get that.
I don't get it either. Okay. Anyways. Okay.
Just quickly, from now on, you can only listen to one artist, The Weeknd or Taylor Swift.
I like Blinding Lights.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with The Weeknd.
Okay. I'm going to go Taylor because I don't really get the thing about the, I understand this is that old man being I understand being out of touch and all that stuff. I get it. But like, did he not just do the Super Bowl last year? This year?
2 years ago.
Okay. I didn't know any of it. And I get it. That's not surprising. I'm a man. I'm 40, right? Like all of that shit. But I don't get it, and I don't feel like I hear about him anywhere near as much as I hear about Taylor Swift. Same with, like, Bad Bunny is huge right now. I don't hear shit about Bad Bunny
until
he shows up at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you need to live in Tijuana South, my friend.
Need to do that.
You're not a good Latino.
That's true.
You're not even a bad one. You're just... It doesn't speak to you. But 312 million streams. And so
only like 8% of that came from your house.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, how many times did you stream it?
Right.
I would be more interested in how many unique streams in the first 24 hours. But anyways, that's a huge number.
Yep.
And it caught me to thinking, if you were looking to mobilize a group of people, a demographic, it would be young women and girls, because you're not getting the same result with young guys and boys. Like you're not, like, I don't know what it is that you would have to find that you would stream 312 times for guys.
Yeah.
In a 24-hour period. You know what I mean? Whereas young women and girls are so passionate about it. It's just...
I'm hung up on your question here. For guys, like,
there's got to be nudity in it. And it's got to be acceptable. I got to be able to do it and my parents not come.
The new Jenna Jameson drop.
Not drop the hammer. Yeah. Jenna Jameson. Hello, 1995 or whatever that.
Whatever.
You can tell where Matt's little horny wheelhouse is.
I wish. We're still on dial-up at that point. I don't have time to download a video.
I see the top of her head. She's smiling. All right.
So,
dial-up porn. Awesome.
I was going to keep it for music, though. Like, let's just assume the streaming era goes all the way back. How far do you have to go? Would it be one of Eminem's big?
There isn't one.
No, you're probably right.
Like, I honestly can't think.
The Beatles?
And I understand.
Although, that was as much men and women.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I understand. You've streamed or downloaded it. My brother has.
Yeah.
Like, younger brother.
Yeah.
I understand that there are also guys, but it's, you look at a crowd.
1,000%, man.
You look at a crowd and it is the predominantly women.
Yep.
Or females.
Yep.
There isn't. I don't know what it would be for you to, for guys.
I'm just trying to go back, like under these same rules, how far would you have to go back to a huge rock album, a huge rap album?
Look at all the demographics of those Beatles. And there's so many women fainting and shouting. Elvis.
Yep.
It's all women.
Nirvana, one of their albums.
Yeah, but that's reaching. I still think that's reaching both.
And it wasn't anywhere near as international, I guess.
Right.
Like, Taylor's selling out stadiums in Tokyo. Nirvana's not doing that, right? Like,
right. She's just, it's such a phenomenon.
Yeah.
And as I was saying to you, we're talking in the green room. It's all black and white. There's no gray.
Right. There is, but people aren't allowed to voice it.
Well, this is it, man. and they get fired up. Well, like the first thing I came in, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, I was playing here today.
I walk away from a house that's been like, honestly, I was trying to listen to a bunch of things and read some stuff, you know, buffing up for the show.
Sure.
But it's to the background of the tortured poets department or whatever it is. It's like at 10 upstairs. And so I'm like, and I walk in the door and there it is. And the first thing you said was, Fuck off,
hater.
And that's the thing.
This is what was being yelled at you walking out the
door.
Yeah,
this is it. Just no F-bomb. And so it's one of those things where you can't. You have to love it. And anything that's just, if you're meh or mid, you're just like.
So this thing's got 31 songs on it.
You're a hater.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a huge fan. I said, I got to about 12 songs that are anywhere from, that's fine, to, that's pretty good. I like that. Everything else, I could take it. Because there's a bunch of, like, kind of slow, whatever she's doing.
Melancholy.
Yeah, that I'm not feeling. But there was enough on it that I was like, this is all right. And if it wasn't 31 songs long, I would take 10 to 12 songs out of 15 or 16.
If you're not here for the breakup, Matt, get the fuck out.
Yeah, well, but I did enjoy it. I went into it to listen to it for a couple reasons. One, everyone was going to be talking about it. And I was curious. I don't dislike Taylor. She's not one of my favorites, but I don't dislike her stuff, obviously. But I got, you know, one of my little buddies, my niece, like, these are people who are into it. Hey, I'd like to at least be able to talk about it a little bit. And I wanted to see, you know, what the big deal was all about. But by the time I got to the end, and it took me all day, because I'm not sticking around on this for 31 songs all in a row, right? Like, I'm going to peace out for a while. I'll come back to it. And so by the end of it, I was like, okay, that was a bit of a slog. I did not need 31 songs of this.
Yeah.
But I came away with it going, I'll probably add 3 or 4 to my library and keep them, and that'll be it. I'll move along. I don't know. It is a phenomenon. Like, there were people having parties at midnight for when the album dropped. This was a thing, man. That's
beat it.
I don't remember the last time we saw something quite this big.
Well, and it shattered the record for most streams in a 24-hour period, breaking her own Midnight's album or Midnight's.
Yep.
Like, it almost doubled that.
Right.
Which set a record, which broke
her own record. Yeah.
Right? It is crazy.
Still just puzzled by the hang up on what would get men the same way.
Yeah, well, and this is why
a big fight or a
yeah, okay,
line up for Super Bowl tickets or
yeah. This is really all I'm throwing it out there. I was looking at it from a music as you.
So was I initially, but now I'm just trying to get to a place where what would get men talking in the same way over the course of like an entire weekend.
And, right, and it's one of those things where last Friday listening, AJ had Susan Ormsby.
Yeah.
On who has written a book, Fastest Man in the World, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that
out. A recapping of that whole thing. And this is the kind of thing that I think of, right? If you know, you were only like 5.
Yeah.
It was such a huge story. Like, not just in Canada or in the United States. The Fastest Man in the World thing.
Yeah, a Canadian won the Olympic gold medal in the 100-meter dash. And that had it taken away because he tested positive.
Right. And the follow-up from it. But the year leading up to it.
Right.
After, you know, Carl Lewis in a boycotted Olympics in 84 had 4 golds. And by 87, Ben won the world championships. Right. And so there was this year buildup between 87. Like, I just think of that kind of thing. Right. Yeah. Which is global in its appeal. That's
right.
That's what Taylor Swift is.
Yep.
Right. And so.
And it has to be something like a Tyson fight or an Ali fight. Maybe you got to go back that far.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Something that's available. It's going to be on
NBC
Sports.
The whole world
Sports.
Cares about. It's universal. Yeah.
A heavyweight champion and the 100-meter dash.
Yeah.
Those are the things in, you know,
in sports. 50s,
60s, 70s, and into the 80s that it was universally understood. Greatest athletes.
Right.
Heavyweight champion and the 100-meter dash.
Yeah.
Runner. And I think by calling it the 100-meter dash means I may have an onion tied to my belt. Like, it doesn't make dash. I'm going to dash. So that's the kind of thing, though, is it has to be universal in appeal, not just a Canadian story or a North American story.
What about House of Dragons?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sorry. House of Dragons was the sequel.
The sequel, yep, yeah. Which is actually a prequel.
Okay, fine. It came out second. Fuck off.
Asshole!
Game of Thrones, like
yeah. Sopranos, final episode. But I'm just not sure that's getting the global reach.
No,
maybe,
you're probably
maybe
right.
Game of Thrones is
more than the Sopranos, I think.
But I'm just curious, right? As I thought about it, and I'm like, I don't know. But beyond the idea that females especially younger ones, seem to be way more motivated and passionate than males of the same age.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I guess so, yeah. It would seem to be, you look at this tour she's on that's going to continue for the next year or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
Selling out 50,000 seat stadiums for
5 nights in a row.
Right.
And yeah, paying big bucks.
Big money, man. Big money.
Like, honestly, the tickets that are in our house are in the fifth level of the dome.
Yeah.
And you're like, not even going to like be able to see her. And shit's going to be bouncing off the concrete in there.
It's
like,
not a great concert.
It's going to be in November, so that it'll be closed.
100%, yeah.
And I'm just like, and she's like, oh, and I'll just be screaming and crying. And I'm like, yeah.
Sounds fun.
And I'm like, I just don't think young males get there in any way, whether it's a cultural thing,
right.
Whether it's, yeah, I just don't know what it is. Like, she went to see, what's his name? Noah Kahan.
Sure.
Dial Drunk, that song. You don't know that song?
Guess not.
It's.
I thought I was doing good to have some Tay-Tay references. All right,
sorry,
off the
man.
Top,
I'm going deep on you here. Anyway, she's playing me. She's in the, I don't know, the 300s, maybe right on the edge of the 300s at the CTC.
Right.
And he comes out to Dial Drunk. And I'm like, why would you play your most famous song as your opener? I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, she's singing and she's crying. And I'm like, I don't get it. And so to me, that is the thing. I just fundamentally don't get it.
Right.
I'm not going to see anybody where I'm like crying. I'm so excited I'm crying.
Rob's just bawling at the Wasp concert.
Yeah. Well, and Kate, an interesting Wasp. Yeah. Fuck Like a Beast or I Want to Be Somebody. Like, this is
these are emotional songs.
Yeah. Well, and here's where I'm going is at 15, were you absolutely jonesing to share whatever you were super passionate about musically with your parents?
No. Half the reason we've talked about it 100 times on the show. I grew up at 12, 13, like listening to the same country music as my parents. Half the reason to get into the punk stuff was to get away from that, like stuff that I know they will find obnoxious or repellent or
different than so fundamentally.
You're
different
trying to push hard against
away from the establishment.
100%.
And it's funny.
I don't want to come back. No, like you should listen to this rancid song. You're gonna here's what they're talking about. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, and
to this day, when I put on anything, and as is clearly evident when I talk about the fact that I've been listening to Taylor Swift this weekend, my musical tastes have mellowed a bit. But my mom, to this day, at 40 years old, if she comes like to my place here and there's something on that is even mildly heavy, she has called it from the time I was 15 to the time that I'm 40, can you turn off this punk shit? And punk shit now might be like Jeremy by Pearl Jam. Like the stuff even mellower than that, right? But it's punk shit. You're just like, turn off this
sounds
punk
angry.
Shit.
Why is my son so angry? And it's funny because I think back to when I'm 15 and probably I'm going back in the, and it's like Slow and Easy by Whitesnake or like Slide It In or Heat Seeker by AC/DC, right? And you're like, probably not, right? But I do remember, right, as I go back in the Stones catalog, and I'm in my mid-teens, right? And I remember going to my stepmother with Angie.
Okay.
The song Angie by the Stones, right? And so it was my understanding it was an affair maybe Mick had with David Bowie's wife, Angela Bowie. Mm. So I remember asking my stepmother about it, right? And it's partly to ask her about it, but also partly to be like, hey, check out what I'm, you know, to make a connection of some variety, right?
Yeah,
like see how, you know, how varied my... Anyways, I wonder about that, right? In terms of sharing. I didn't, right? Yeah. And in fact, there was a lot of stuff that my parents would be like, oh, it's trash.
Yeah, no, my parents were never going to sit down with me and listen to the new NoFX or the new Rancid or any of that stuff.
So, some sweet Bouncing Souls.
Man, you love the Bouncing Souls.
Yeah, stick around.
They didn't.
No, it's okay. All right. Anyways, it's just a...
It's a phenomenon.
It's such something a all-encompassing like thing that it's just... We all got to just live with it.
Some of us got to. Some of us want to, man. That's where we're at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you are embracing it, and I'm tolerating it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think that's how it goes.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready for, you know, headed down in a few weeks, mid-May, Mother's Day, Mom's birthday, my niece's birthday. I'm going to be ready to talk Taylor with my niece. I'm going to be...
Talk Tay-Tay.
Yeah. Her and I are going to start a podcast, talking Tay-Tay. Nobody's going to listen.
Sorry, Rob, you're not in next Sunday. We will be doing Taylor Swift.
Oh, man, if I could have replaced you with her a long time ago, I would have done it, man.
She doesn't live in the city, folks.
She does not.
So I'm safe for a bit.
Nor does she want to talk sports, nor does she really want to talk Taylor with me either. So
how about beer?
This is probably not going to happen.
I'm safe on the beer front, I think.
I think you got that covered.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody who did not have their job covered last week, I don't know if you saw this quote, and we don't have a whole lot on this, but Pete Fairbanks, Tampa Bay Rays, comes in and blows a save. I think it was Monday. Did you happen to see his quotes afterwards? Were you watching the Tampa Rays postgame show, Rob?
I know
normally you do.
I seem to miss that one.
So he comes in, gives up two runs, blows the save for the Tampa Rays. And it was a pretty ugly outing.
Like Swanson kind of blowing it?
Well, we can get to the Jays here in a minute. I thought he had a pretty fascinating quote describing his own effort coming out of that game.
Is it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Pretty honest assessment of his job performance.
Yeah, well, and I love that. Because in baseball, they're like, well, it's not that his stuff wasn't good.
Right.
It's his location wasn't good.
He's like, no, nothing I did was good.
Yeah, and you're like, that was just an all-encompassing suck. And I'm like, high five, brother. Because I was watching it and I felt the same way. So, perfect.
So half the reason this particular quote stood out to me is, you know, we introduced this new intro a while ago on the podcast with the NHL 94 background music and the Paul Maurice quote and everything. And I haven't really had a good outro for it, but I think this will work. We'll run that same music on the way out. And then to describe this episode of the podcast, just...
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
So look for that on the way out of the show.
Well, and only we're not going to do anything to try and fix it.
Yeah, we can maybe slice the end off.
We can be pissed
about it. We're not going to try and rectify it.
Because there is no... this is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. 9 years in.
Yeah, we're 1,298 episodes into this thing.
I got what I got.
Yeah.
And this is it.
It's true. If you want to go back and check out episode 1296, the piece of audio that Lever Sage and I recorded in early December, thinking probably need it at some point during his Italian vacation. But the guy showed some dedication to the podcast and didn't miss a week, so it never got used. It's something that you and I have done once or twice before over the last couple of years, talking some Tragically Hip. And so we dropped that when Lee wasn't able to make it in last week. And that was episode 1296, just trading some hip stories, some favorite songs. He says this week for sure he's back. We'll see.
And I remember when Lee was on the radio.
I remember.
That most things I disagreed with.
The way that you... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. I was going to let that breathe.
I was out of lyrics. Yeah, sang to me?
Why would you not break in here?
The way that you sang to me?
The way you looked tonight.
No, not that.
That's what I got.
Okay.
So, hey, don't ask for help and then go, nah, that's not good enough. Yes. And
I'd have that one.
Okay. Of course you would. You'd be soaring way over way over me at this point already.
Yeah. Dolly Parton, the way, over Whitney Houston.
Not a chance.
Smarten up.
Not a chance. Smarten up. How dare you? No. To me, virtually anything Whitney Houston does, she's got a voice like bourbon.
Okay.
She got a gorgeous voice. I don't love all the stuff that she does, but...
Love Dolly.
Yeah, Jolene, maybe. Give me some Jolene. Maybe some 9 to 5.
Yeah, Jolene's like my least favorite Dolly hit.
Okay.
Anyway.
Smarten up.
Yeah. Don't hit me with that. I'm hitting you with that. Don't hit me with that.
Anyways, it is with Lee. I just sort of go, that was a. If ever I found Lee and I on the same side of a take, I
had to reevaluate.
I thought maybe I was wrong. Yeah, I was. I'm like, okay, Rob, maybe what have you done here? Are you happy with this?
The plan is for him to return Tuesday afternoon, which means you'll hear from him Wednesday morning, or you won't.
And where I was going with this was he was talking on air, not on this podcast, but on the radio one time about his top five hips songs, and flamenco made it in there.
Made it onto this one too, because you and I have done that exercise before. Yeah. I think we had to loosen the strings and go to top seven.
Top seven, because it's hard.
It's
right?
hard. By 12, I was like, I cannot cut any further. But one of the things he and I discussed, the same as you and I discussed, is could fluctuate a little. You ask me this again in a month, I might be in a different place, right? One might have slid out, one might have replaced us.
I'm pretty consistent. Right. But flamenco is always in my top five. And I don't think it's a song that makes it into everybody's top five.
It sure doesn't. So
Lee took a big step up.
That was 1296. If you want to check that out, we're a game into it now, Leafs and Bruins. But Jeff Viette was here to tee up the Leafs Bruins series on 1297. All of that available at tallcanaudio.com. We're going to punt the hockey for a minute. We are going to stay on the baseball front here. The Jays, at the time that you and I sit here Sunday afternoon, have taken 2 out of 3 from San Diego. That means they have won 4 consecutive series, having, you know, followed a pretty rough start with a pretty good bounce back. But you sent me a text, was it Friday night? It would have been
Thursday night, the Yankees.
Or Wednesday afternoon after, the afternoon game.
After the Swanson.
But even then, they've taken 2 of 3 from the Yankees.
Yep.
You were pretty unimpressed.
Well, see, it's the opportunity they've had. If you remove the Rockies series, because they didn't have a chance to sweep that because they got smoked in the game one of that.
Yes.
And 1, 2, and 3.
Where there's smoke.
So they took those 2 of those 3. But the Mariners series, they had a chance to sweep. Mm-hmm. Didn't. Yankees had a chance to sweep.
It's hard to sweep, Ben.
I know, but 1-1 in the 9th and you have the bases loaded? I don't care. One out? You need to cash that.
We talked about that one last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or was that a different... No, that was with Arden that I talked about, that where Clement gets one into the outfield and the guy just gets there instead of laying, and then you get crushed in the 10th.
Yep.
So baseball sometimes is a little cruel.
I get it. So when I hear Hazel saying, coming out of the Saturday night game, and they have a chance to sweep the Padres tomorrow, I'm like, fuck, don't say that. Because it always means they're going to get smashed.
It's funny though, like 3 of these 4 series wins are against good teams. Like, I'm with you. I'd like to have seen the sweep against Colorado. Like you said, was taken off the table on the Friday. But Seattle, pretty good. New York, obviously pretty good. They're still first in the division. San Diego, out on the road, you're pretty good. You're taking 2 out of 3 there.
Yep.
They may yet sweep, as you've pointed out. You know, we don't know that yet. You were upset at Hazel for jinxing it, I guess. But we'll see.
But it was, I had sent you the message. I can't remember what I...
It was after the afternoon game Wednesday.
Yeah, I didn't like the use of coming right up from Buffalo of bringing Swanson and Romano into high leverage situations against good teams, right? It just, neither one looked crisp. And to me, we've seen Swanson in both his outings. I'm moving that guy down into a lower leverage situation until he can...
On Wednesday, though, they pretty clearly had no chance. They weren't, or no choice. They weren't going to run Romano out there again. Chad Green didn't even get up. For whatever reason, he was down and not available. Like, there was some pretty limited options, clearly, on Wednesday that sometimes they just don't talk about, right? And so, yeah, it's frustrating. I'm with you. When you have a 4-2 lead going into the 9th, I want that game closed. I want it. I want the sweep. I want this done. It didn't get done. But I've almost moved into a place where I look at each series as a game.
Yep.
Right? Did we win this game?
Yeah.
And as long as you do that, I in the long run, you'll be okay. I'm still alarmed by the lack of power in this lineup, although Dalton Varsho's making a bid to, to try and boost it. I don't know what Vlad is doing. Like, he is still totally willing to swing at anything down and away, like sliders down and away. He's got to clean that up. And if it didn't get cleaned up over the offseason and it didn't get cleaned up in spring, I assume.
Well, you thought with all the walks, you thought with all the walks he took early that it was sort of, you're shrinking that strike zone.
Yeah.
He went 2 for 3 or 3 for 4 on Saturday night, right? Two singles and a double. But the power, as you suggest, when he gets one, he gets one.
Yeah, if someone makes a mistake and puts it in his zone, it's going 450 feet. Like,
right. To me, the pitching, and this is not, you know, new talk. The starting pitching has been fantastic. Like, and if you couple that with the, especially the outfield defense.
Yeah.
Like, on the Saturday night game, Berríos struggled a bit, right? Yeah. Like, he was grinding, he was battling. But if you look at the catch that Varsho made,
Varsho just picking him up all over.
Kiermaier made, and then the one Springer made. You're like, that is the game right there. Those three catches, they don't get made with, if you have Lourdes Gurriel and you have Teoscar out there on the corners.
Yeah.
Those are clanging around, and that's 3 or 4 runs.
But maybe you got 8 on the board instead of 5 for yourself.
Well, there's a pile of swing and miss in that, too. But
I'm with you, though. I know your point is well made, that for what they have tried to do to reconstruct the defense, they have been successful. This is, without question, still the best defensive outfield in baseball.
100%.
There's a trade-off with your offense. Now, they're trying to limit that, and if Varsho is going to be closer to, you know, what we've seen so far this year instead of what he was last year, you know, then that gap gets closed a little bit and you look okay, like you feel okay about that. But I'm not sure yet that this is Varsho, right? We've seen him have streaks before.
Now, to me, it's the power. The 5 homers in 7 games, we don't expect that.
No.
But to me, it's the stringing single double homer.
Yeah.
You just give me a couple single double games, right? You just can't be the complete bottoming. So I have been on many levels. I think they've gone 7 straight with 5 runs or more.
I think that's right.
And so they're right in that. And to me, that's if you can get decent pitching.
Well, I guess they only put up 4 in that last game against New York last week. But
right.
So maybe it's 4 or more.
So maybe it's 4 or more.
Yeah.
But if you get 4 or 5 runs and you get decent pitching, you're going to win more. And you play good
And they're
defense.
Getting well above decent. Like, man, I don't know about you. We've only seen 2 starts now. That Yeriel Rodriguez guy, pretty easy to cheer for, right? Like, he's fun to watch.
Well, he's passionate.
Yeah, for sure.
He's got that Latino, he's fist pumping at the end of every.
Yeah. And for people who aren't familiar, like, this is a guy who's had to defect from Cuba, pitched in Japan for a while, didn't pitch competitively basically at all last year after the World Baseball Classic. He's got family still back in Cuba, so he's... It's a big deal to him to make some real money, right, and be successful here. And the Jays locked him up long term. And I think we talked about this on the show that I sort of thought this first year he would be a project because you locked him up long term. You're not worried about him leaving, like you developing him into something awesome and him taking off. You have him. And he's going to be on a pitch count this year. He's going to be on an innings count this year. He has to be because he didn't pitch much last year. But they've needed somebody in that 5 spot. Bowden Francis really wasn't getting it done. And Alek Manoah, now he did have a better start again on Friday. So we'll see where that's going to go. But it's just easy to cheer for a guy like that. If you look at some of the stories of what it takes to defect out of Cuba for some of these guys, man, it is not easy. Like you said, you leave family behind. And now it's got to work, right? You've got to be successful. And so far, he's been successful. And so I think... they would ideally like to, probably sooner than later, move him into the pen so they can limit his innings.
Yeah.
But right now, he's been, for those 2 starts, like really easy to root for, really successful in that 5th spot. And if you can kind of stretch him out a little this year, I, you know, wouldn't be shocked at all if you see that guy's a regular part of the rotation for the next few years after this one.
He went from 70-ish pitches in his first start. They had him up to almost 80 in the second. Now, he only made it to 4 innings.
Yep.
4 innings with 80 pitches.
Sure. Well, that Padres lineup, right? It's tough going.
The top half of that lineup is, even if you think you add Soto to that lineup.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, that is with Machado and
Cronenberg.
And Tatis.
Yeah.
And Xander Bogaerts.
Yep.
Like just, it's, to me, they have a top half that can mash. But that's, it's funny because it's not a hitting park.
No, it's not.
Really, right? And if you are... You kind of like to maybe design your lineup a little different, right, in terms of what's going on there, especially any games when we talked about it quite a bit last year when the Jays were down in Anaheim playing the Angels.
Yeah.
Right? California day games, Ball's flying. California night games.
Dead.
Ball is not going anywhere, right? And so it's a, I have been happy.
Yeah. I think when you look at the underlying numbers for this lineup, they have turned a lot of things around. They have like top five numbers in like basically all your approach stats, right? Balls taken, not chasing, you know, being able to get on base. The problem has been and will be, it looks like all year, a lack of power. And that's one of the reasons you're not higher in the RBIs, right? Not higher in runs scored.
Right.
Because you're just not cashing those in. Every now and then, someone's supposed to run into one that brings two or three of those guys all in off base at the same time. And that's where they're missing. So the approach that they've talked about all spring, right? They want the approach to be better. I think for a lot of guys, you're seeing that play out. But it does look like this lack of power is going to be a problem throughout the season.
Well, it's funny because they talk about Don Mattingly saying, you know, last year there seemed to be a lot of guys up there hacking with no approach.
Yeah.
And I think every fan who watched the game more than casually would say, what is the approach? There's a lot of first pitch swing. And you're like, it's aggressive. That's the approach here, right? Yeah. And you just need to look at Springer, Vladdy, and Bo. Those guys are all up there looking to ambush the first pitch, right?
Well, and Springer's power numbers, ever since he got here, keep trending down, and this year are at like a record, like just his exit velocity and stuff. Vlad, when he gets there, still scorching stuff up. Like, if you make a mistake to Vlad, he will hammer it. But if you execute your game plan, you're getting him out. Like, he's chasing. He's susceptible right now.
He's double play special.
Yeah.
So, to me, I still see Springer swinging at way too many first pitches.
Right.
But there have been way more walks. And I know Springer's also taken. He's worked some walks. But that is the single biggest thing, right?
Well, Springer, right? Like, in his first two games of the season, he hit home runs. Since then, he only has two extra base hits. They're both doubles. Like, I don't know if that's still your... Like, he's still got a good leadoff approach. But the leadoff, elite leadoff Springer that we used to know... That guy's gone.
The guy who was pulling into second behind Ricky Henderson in terms of leadoff home runs.
Right. That guy's gone.
That guy seems to be gone right now. And so they really need to figure out what they do. Is his contract is done next year?
I think it's after next year.
Yeah. So you got to figure out what's going to happen there. He's still bringing great defense. I love the move over from center, right? Yep. You take a guy who was an above average center fielder and you put him in right.
Yep.
As we've said, you can't argue with what they've done out in the outfield, but
I won't be surprised because Kiermaier got off to a really bad start, really rough. Now, he's been better over the last 10 games or so, but we'll see what he turns into. And if he turns out to be a guy this year that can't play every day, wouldn't be surprised if Varsho becomes your everyday center fielder and now you're out shopping for what they should have done in the offseason.
Yeah.
A left field masher, which will, your defense will suffer a little, but you need a right-handed power bat that can play in that situation.
Well, and what do you make anything of this talk of, so Kiermaier with his best season last year,
like
he had a great season.
Adjusted his swing a little, had some great power numbers, yeah.
And then he said, you know, and the disappointment that comes with not getting a sort of a better contract offer.
Yeah, he thought he'd be far more valued. Wasn't.
And so he's like, okay, Toronto, what do you got? I guess,
guess
I love it here, sure. But I was certainly looking at going somewhere else.
Yep.
But yeah, that he was looking to pull the ball more this year. He was looking for more power because power gets paid, right? As opposed to...
Put that on a t-shirt.
Power gets paid.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah, well, it's a TCA shirt waiting to happen right there. Power gets paid.
Porter gets paid.
Yeah.
Stout
gets paid.
Yeah, all right.
Nobody's going in for
no
the
alliteration.
Yeah, I know, but... Anyways, to me, that is... Yeah, sorry, I just totally...
Yep.
But I can see it in the black t-shirt, white lettering.
Yep.
It's totally...
Kind of foaming at the top.
It's good, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has to go back to the approach from last year, as I said, singles, doubles, as opposed to looking for the home run contract next year.
We'll get to the NHL in just a second. I want to talk just a little bit about on Saturday, we saw another PWHL game where they took a run at the all-time. It is all-time.
It is all-time.
The league is 1 year old, but this is an all-time record for attendance in women's hockey. went to the Bell Center in Montreal. I think if it's not Montreal, it's Chicago that have the two biggest arenas in the NHL.
I think Chicago has the biggest.
Okay. But they're in the city. Like,
yep. 22.5, 21.8. I think that's right. Yeah. Somewhere in there.
So Montreal sells out a Montreal-Toronto PWHL game at 21,105. That beats what Toronto did a month or two ago, the battle on Bay Street, they were calling it. I can't remember their number, but I know for hockey.
19 and change.
Yeah, it's high 18, low 19 for hockey in Toronto. So if I was a league strategist, I would have liked to have seen Ottawa go next because Ottawa has a bigger capacity than Toronto.
Right.
We all know Montreal in this league has the biggest. Yeah. So could I drag a little more press out of this? Could I break the record one more
Ottawa
time?
Ottawa breaks the Toronto record.
And then
Montreal breaks the Ottawa record.
Now, it doesn't sound like there was even, I don't want to speak out of turn, but it doesn't seem like there was much of an effort by Ottawa this year in the PWHL to get out to CTC. Maybe that was scheduling. I'm not really sure.
It's wide open right now.
It is wide open right now, but the Montreal game has already gone. So, and I think there's only about a week. There is only a week left in the PWHL season. So it looked like a cool vibe, man. I had that game on for a while on Saturday afternoon here. Toronto-Montreal, it seems like, is probably going to draw just about anywhere, right? It's one of those classic matchups. It goes to overtime before Sarah Nurse scores to end it. You know, I'm sure from a marketing perspective and from a hometown perspective, Montreal would have obviously preferred to win that game. But in terms of league footage going forward, having Sarah Nurse be the one to do it makes this one of those easy video package inclusions, right?
Yep.
As a look at how they've done it. Are you, I was going to say, are you, you know, annoyed or whatever, maybe that's overstating it, that Ottawa didn't take a run at it this year? Because that ship has sailed. Like, Ottawa can't beat 21 without going to TD Place or something like that for an outdoor game. Does it bug you that Ottawa didn't take a run at it? Did you watch much of the Toronto-Montreal game in Montreal this weekend?
I didn't watch any of it.
Okay.
I read about it.
Yeah.
No.
Saturday at 1 o'clock. I would have made that maybe my 7 o'clock. Although now you're against the Leaf playoff game. Fair enough. But
yeah,
1 o'clock's tough on a Saturday.
It certainly is. And so to me, I think what Ottawa has done here is, I am totally spitballing here, right? This is coming out of the top of my head.
Yeah.
Ottawa has done a really good thing down at TD Place.
Yeah.
Right? They go 8,300 or 8 grand consistently. We're right up against that ceiling.
Yep.
I think that's a great story. It's a great story. They do their skull at the end of the game, right? Yeah. The crowd is into it. And if you're going to steal something, steal that. That's awesome to see at the end of the game.
And it feels, when you're there, it feels like a big deal because it's full.
Right.
And when it's hard to get tickets, it feels like a big deal because I couldn't go this time. Right. I better buy my tickets sooner next time. So you're right.
People are saying, yeah, man, I had to buy these tickets a month ago because I knew if I wanted to see a game,
right,
bam, it's getting down to the crunch. So I think if you continue to like bust out of the seams at Lansdowne, at TD Place, you go out and you make this pitch and maybe you only get 16. 15. I don't know. Maybe you do sell it out. I have no idea.
Location's always a factor too, right? Montreal and the ACC, both those arenas right downtown.
Right.
The same thing that's always been a problem for the Sens.
TD Place, downtown.
Yep.
And so
CTC, not so much.
Not so much. And I just think if you play in front of 15,000 at the CTC, as the Sens have at times, you're further back from the ice. It just feels emptier. And to me, I think
Argo's at the Dome.
Right.
17,000 is not a terrible crowd for CFL in a 50,000 seat building.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
And so, on a Sens game night, when you see 15,000 in there, it seems like, is there anybody there?
Right.
It just because it's that 90s build and everything is so far back. And I don't know. I just think it's a good idea to not push it. Not push it, as you've suggested. I can't get a ticket. I want a ticket.
Yeah.
I better get on the next one. I better buy season's tickets. There's a bunch of things that demand draws. And so clearly I'm just looking at it and I kind of endorse it.
I love the idea. I love the arena. You and I have talked about that in terms of where they have set up and made their home. I think if you had allowed space between that Toronto, and there was,
yep.
if you'd allowed space between that Toronto game that set the record and the Montreal home game, you could have sold that here in Ottawa. Let's beat Toronto's record, right? Yeah, it's out at the CTC,
yep.
but we're going to, you know, make it Montreal or make it Toronto, make it one of your rivalry games, have it as a home game out at CTC. We want to beat Toronto's record. I think there's a hook there
yeah.
that could have helped sell it. And even if you know Montreal's planning to go after your record, you know, only a few weeks later, that opportunity is just gone now because you just don't have the building to beat Montreal's record, like I said, without being outdoors and yeah. doing something crazy.
Well, it was
so
interesting.
I think that part is a bit of a... Because you can only do this in year one. And
yep.
you've talked about that before. You don't want to keep doing this in future seasons, right? Let's make it about the league and not about the attendance records and things. And the players have said as much. We want to talk about the games, not about, hey, look at us. We're doing great, right?
Right.
So,
although it was interesting, you see Marie-Philippe Poulin was saying, you know, she hearkened back to a CWHL game held between Calgary and Montreal, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, would have had to have been.
And they held it at the Bell Centre. There was 6,000 people.
Right.
And she said, 6,000 is great,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if you play in Verdun and there's 4,500, playing in front of 6,000 people is awesome, but there's a lot of empty seats.
Yep.
And so she said to come out and play in the Bell Centre with almost 22,000 people.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe and it's a thing. So you can't look that gift horse or that positive.
Right.
You can't look away from it. Right. That it is this thing that says, yeah, man, between the women's NCAA and what happened there and what happened on the weekend and what happened in Toronto, people are watching.
Yep.
People are watching.
Women's Worlds last weekend.
And not just
down in Utica.
Yeah. Not just for the novelty of it. They're watching.
There's a moment here. People are in. People are gathering around this.
People are buying in
yeah.
for many reasons.
Yeah.
Good hockey is first and foremost. And
yep.
you can't look past that. But also, it is the story.
Yep.
It is the story and the wanting to be part of a story, which is something new.
And so, from my point, that's the opportunity lost for Ottawa. There was a window there for you to capitalize on that, for you to do it before Montreal did it. And now that particular moment is lost. And maybe it's not a big deal. I'm with you. In the long term or in the game to game, like your everyday performance, I like where they are in that building. I think it makes it feel like a big deal. I really like it. But you were only going to have one. You had to go after Toronto and before Montreal if you wanted to be part of that
yeah,
story.
Yeah.
And that moment is lost.
And to me, because it is a fleeting story anyways, it
yeah.
was never going to last more than a month anyways.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying. It is.
You only get to do it once.
It's the hand
so
slap on top of the other, right? And
yep.
you're like, come on. And it just yep. keeps going, right?
Yep.
But I think there is something to be said for the good story that is the attendance here.
Yep.
And the buying. And what happens, does a little air get taken out of that balloon if you only get 15 or you only get 16 and you make that
That
pitch?
Is the risk, yeah.
And so I think, like I also slightly poo-pooed the idea of next year expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Let it take roots, man. Let it take roots with six and strengthen this
yeah.
and then move, right? So to me, it's the same with the building. Just, hey, man, you have people clamoring for, there's demand
right.
at 8,300. Stoke that fire.
Sure.
Fire that up a bit before you sort of go, I'm going to try and overstep my bounds here. I just think there's two sides to that same story that you're talking about.
No question about that. We'll take a break here. We're going to restoke the fire, get another pint. We'll be back in a sec.
Perfect.
Toronto gets the puck first. 3-on-3 overtime. Ambrose. Poulin, they have had 13 games going into overtime this season. Sarah Nurse, she scores! Toronto takes all, undefeated against PWHL Montreal in this historic first season.
All right, let's get back into it here. We haven't talked anything yet about the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NHL, any more on the Utah thing, more than U2. Hey, funny, eh? Right off the top, we had a couple of Taylor references. We won't dive too far back into that, but one of them was the lyrics in that tortured poet department song was Patti Smith.
Running up that hill.
And I, you know, I'm like, I'm going to go and see what else Patti Smith did. I know a couple of things, like, yeah. But I went back and I looked and she did a song called Gloria. And I'm like, no. Okay, because I know a few different people did Gloria.
Right.
Just like in high school. But it was
Hey-o!
The one that we all know from the St. Louis Blues run. Is
Laura Branigan.
Is its own Gloria.
Yeah.
Then there's another Gloria that was actually done by Jimi Hendrix at one point.
Van Morrison
does the original. Like he wrote it, but Patti Smith took a stab at it. Like
U2,
it is one of
U2 the, does a Gloria.
That one's a different one
it,
again.
Yes, it is.
And so when the Lumineers have a Gloria that doesn't quite chart.
Gloria.
Ooh.
Gloria. Yeah, man, I got time for it.
Anyway, I ended up down the Wikipedia rabbit hole on.
Patti Smith.
Different, well, and Gloria's apparently. Like, who else was doing songs called Gloria? So, what'd you just crack into over there? You're going first this time.
I'm drinking.
It throws the show off kilter when I do go
Clearly
first.
Clearly, it's yeah. made your tongue two times fatter.
That might have been the
the growler of of smoky
essentially, yeah.
marshmallow
mini stout.
Whatever you had going on there.
Where there's smoke,
it's made my tongue stout. I am back to Collingwood. I have something called the King Post English Pale Ale.
Mm.
So I'm like, what are the characteristics that separate an English Pale Ale from an American? And so, yeah, we're looking for a little less, not quite so hoppy, not quite so hop forward. Hopefully it's a little more balanced. And while I would say the hoppiness is muted mm-hmm. slightly, it's still there.
Okay.
It's still present. They're calling for a little more balanced drinkability. And at this point, I'm not sure I find it balanced, but.
At this point, anything liquid and alcoholic is going to.
Get in my belly.
Heavily drinkable.
Yeah. So it comes in at 5.8%. Collingwood King Post, it's called.
Okay.
English Pale Ale. And I find it to be. Average, but not bad. Like I said, I'm not like, blah, it's not a Laker or a Wildcat Strong.
Right.
How's that for a throwback?
Lakeport, Pabst Blue Ribbon of some sort.
Oh, the PBR.
Terrible.
I had a PBR
no.
light.
Oh, no.
Like a bar. I stole it from a bar in London. Anyways.
I thought you were going to say you had one recently.
No.
When was the last time? Like, how long are we going back since you've had a PBR?
I don't know if I've ever had
a
PBR.
Okay. I'm going back probably 05 college days, met up with a buddy in London, and that's all he had in his fridge was.
Yeah, because it was cheap, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, it's like Bush.
Yeah.
Getting a tall can of Bush.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. I remember roofing, and again, living in London.
Yeah.
Roofing and stopping at the grocery store to pick up something for dinner. I'm living on my own and. Swung by the, just a small little sort of nook, LCBO.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that Bush, pretty cheap.
At the grocery store?
No, okay. in a little yeah, sort yeah, of, yeah, yeah, in okay. the mall, LCBO,
right.
but like super small.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I grabbed six Bush, ended up drinking all
Sound
six.
Like Donald Trump sitting here.
Yeah.
They just let you do it.
Just drink, yeah.
Sorry.
Wow. Anyway, but you know what? To further the Donald Trump theme here, I drank those six Bush. Probably
fell asleep in a courtroom.
Probably with a large can of Chef Boyardee ravioli and watched Miss America. So to me, it's
nice.
The Bush Trump theme, I think it's there, man.
Yeah.
It's there.
Okay. I'm going back to the Bicycle Craft Brewing Company. Mr. Templeton's Wee Heavy.
A Scottish wee heavy?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a Scottish wee heavy.
I know you do. This is 7.5%.
As they all are.
Carry me home through the rest of this episode of the podcast.
That will be very malt forward.
It is malt forward. It's very biscuity,
yeah, man,
I would say.
I love it.
Yeah. It's coming off pretty nice so far, man. Just one sip in here, but.
And it'll take you where you need to go.
it's going to have to.
Get on me back! Ock, it's all right, sexy bastard you've turned into. That's what the wee heavy will do for you.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to have a couple.
It's coming. It's coming for you.
Before we get into the Stanley Cup playoff stuff, did you have any sort of thoughts on the final confirmation transaction that has seen the Arizona Coyotes moving out to Utah? And the fact, I guess it sounds like they're going to go, now I saw some interesting notes on this, they're going to go nameless next year.
The PWHL Utah.
Yeah, there you go. And they have seemed to have settled on Utah as opposed to Salt Lake. I did see a great tweet that was like, if the Utah Jazz have been so successful in the market, should we not name the hockey team
the after Utah Coyotes?
Another style of music that no one in Utah has ever listened to?
Rap, hip hop.
Well, I got to tell you, man, the first place I went, Utah ska. That's what I would name.
The Utah ska.
I kind of like it, man. I think it could work.
I don't hate it.
No. Mighty Mighty Boston's playing the national anthem at the...
I'm not a coward. I've just never been tested.
That's right, man. So I kind of get it. If you have to go nameless for a year...
Terrible.
Well, there's a timeline on these
the
things
Salt
for copyright.
Sasquatch?
We just determined they're not doing...
I so. Know, but
now,
they
now,
want the alliteration,
hey,
I
if
think.
If we're
right?
doing... like, one of the other things that Utah has done in the MLS is go very European, right? Real Salt Lake.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. How about HC Utah? I kind of like that for a year.
Nah.
You don't like HC Utah?
I don't know, man. There's a bunch of logos at center ice and on the face-off dots. And you're maybe, there's tattoos on your face and all over your jerseys. Like... I think there's a Skoda in the corner, and my helmet says Tag Heuer in the front. Like, this is what's
Someone's
happening.
Someone's getting a Tiso after
yeah,
every game.
Yeah, this is it, man. I totally see that.
Yeah. Okay, so you're shooting down my Utah ska and my HC
no,
Utah.
No, I'm more here for the Utah ska.
Okay.
Than I am for the
HC Utah.
HC Utah.
Okay. I kind of get it. For a year, don't rush it. You know, it takes time to get like high quality jerseys printed. And then once you have a name, people want the hats and the shirts and the whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be hard to get it all where you want to be.
For those of you in the Ottawa listening area, think of your Peace Tower logo when they brought the Senators in.
That was a cool logo, though.
Yeah, but I had a jersey.
Oh, okay.
I had a black Ottawa Senators Peace Tower jersey.
Right.
I used to play Saturday Night Pickup in it, and the whole back got shredded from having people try to pull it over my head to
bury him.
Yeah. So anyways, that's Saturday Night Hockey in Peterborough.
Sounds like the team will head to Utah on Monday, look around, visit the facilities. Like I said, I think there's only like eight guys under contract.
Yeah,
next
seven or eight. Yeah,
yeah.
It's low.
But the staff will be going.
Armstrong, Tournier.
Sounds like they want to keep some continuity there, which makes sense.
I was kind of hoping they were going to fire Tournier and he maybe a possibility in Ottawa
yeah,
there.
Okay.
I like that guy.
Got a little history in the market.
Well, and I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
I think he's a motivator of men.
Right.
And I just think he brings structure and I think he maximizes what you have. So it's not going to happen, apparently, but.
Doesn't look like it. Moving into the Stanley Cup playoffs here.
I hate that for the record.
The Stanley Cup playoffs?
No, doesn't matter. Dutton.
All right. Well, as you and I sit here on Sunday afternoon, we have game one between the Panthers and the Lightning in the books. Panthers take that one in a tight 3-2 game. Carolina wins a tight one against the Islanders.
How about just briefly?
And the Bruins win a not tight one over the Leafs. Where do you want to start?
That happened, there? That Bruins game.
It happened.
Just briefly in the game that nobody watched. The Carolina
5 o'clock Saturday. Here's Islanders Hurricanes. Have at her, folks.
I was going to say Carolina, and who did Carolina
right,
play
those other
again?
Guys?
For Kuznetsov to get a couple points for a guy that they, you know, I think. For a team that has had a historic problem with scoring in the playoffs.
Historic problems, man. Just
that you can bring in a guy that is a bit of a wild card, bit of an X factor, right, in terms of...
It's a good gamble for them.
What are we going to get with this guy and the retention and all this sorts of stuff? And you go, game one in a 3-1 tight game, 2 points. Sk. Like, to me, that is the story that comes out of that game for me.
Yeah.
And just how great Freddie Anderson was.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah. Good for you, Freddie.
Love it.
We're all loving that.
Yes, we are. But anyways, that's all. Do you have much more than that?
On the Canes and Islanders?
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. No.
Okay. How about Panthers to Tampa Bay? Not really too much. It's over.
I picked the Lightning.
I picked the Panthers.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that close, really.
Okay.
The scores may be close. The games may be tight, but I think that's a 5.
When they played each other 2 years ago.
That went 6, and it was.
And Lightning took it to them.
And it was bloody.
Yep. So I sort of thought with the experience and maybe if Vasilevsky got hot.
If.
It was a little weird. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ifs when you do this, right?
I know. In the playoffs, there's a bunch of things. The stuff that we've seen, that we got a 60-game sort of.
Right.
But we're going to go with the thing he did 4 years ago. Awesome.
Two, you asshole.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking specifically of Vasilevsky. Because, to me, there is enough of a record there, even when they weren't winning cups,
yeah,
that he was good. Not so great last year.
Nope.
Clearly, if he was any good, they would have beat the Leafs in round one, you know.
Sure, as you do.
But since he was not good, the Leafs win. That's how it goes. Yay! I just think that what the Panthers do, it's just too much, I think, for the thinness that is the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Every year in the playoffs, we see a couple of TV commercials that get clearly overplayed, and especially as 2 months go by. It looks to me, man, after...
Think of that Lay's commercial during the pandemic. Oh, yeah. My God, that was terrible.
It looks to me like we're going to see an awful lot of Wendell Clark and Lanny McDonald talking about their prostates for 2 months. Did you see that?
How about
did you see it 30 times?
No. Well, see, because
no.
I started an hour late.
So you had the PVR.
And I was just fast-forwarding. But it was that Bronski beat. Run away, turn away.
That was not the prostate commercial.
No, but that
is
turn away from Wendell Clark and Lanny's prostate. I don't know. I got time for that. Whatever.
No, there's some sort of test for prostate cancer or whatever. They want you to be healthy. They want you to do well. But we're going to see those two joke about each other's prostates.
Well, and as somebody, as I said before, somebody of my age, I've had a couple people look at my prostate.
Sure.
And you're like,
look at it.
What do you think of that? Your prostate is fairly unremarkable.
Look at this, look at that.
And I feel slightly insulted. What do you mean it's unremarkable? that's probably closer to it. Could you not heat that lube or something?
Oh, I thought that was the doctor, not you, but either way.
No, it's unremarkable.
Right, right.
Which I know you think is a good thing, but
yeah.
So Lanny, Wendell, and me, it's totally fine. Do it, man. Check it.
Okay.
Check it!
You'd love that in a prostate. Check it. Check it out.
Is that all you got? Yeah. Come on, man.
So, you speaking of something
this.
That felt a little like a prostate exam...
Oh, good segue. Matt's a pro.
Leafs and Bruins. On Monday night, Leafs lose 5-1. It was 4-1.
Yep.
As people like to say around the Leafs. It did not stay 4-1, but this time it went the other way. If Matt Fratton had just hit his fucking breakaway in 2013, might have been 5-1. This finishes 5-1. Only Leaf fans are still with me on that little...
That was the worst third period ever, am I right? It was a snooze fest.
Which one, 2013 or this one?
Yes.
This one is Saturday night.
The Saturday night one, I was just like, Matt Fratton, you lost me with that.
Okay. Didn't he end up with Sen?
No.
I think he was part of the...
No.
The Phaneuf trade.
No.
Him and maybe Casey Bailey.
Yeah, you know what? We got Phaneuf. I don't know,
Syracuse,
man, with his muddy boots.
Binghamton. Syracuse up. So they ended up in somewhere in upstate New York.
Yeah, it could be somewhere close to Canton.
Right. Anyway, Leafs lose, and they're down 1-0 in the series.
Somewhere close to Albany.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you have nothing to say?
I really don't, because I don't feel like they got dummied. The score would suggest they got dummied, and the score's legit. at 5-on-5, I thought they were largely fine. Not necessarily good or great, but fine. I thought Boston was able to generate more sustained zone pressure. Toronto had their chances, but rarely did they get in there and stay there, right? Like, they would have a flurry where they would get it hard to the front of the net and get a couple rebounds and not be able to bury it. Whereas Boston was generating in-zone time, and Toronto was having a hard time breaking it out, which some of us projected might be the case with this particular blue line configuration. But at the end of the day, you look at it and you go, well, Matthews, Marner, and Tavares didn't produce again. And, you know, the penalty kill is garbage. They're going to have to be careful about that. It has been mediocre all year. You know, they were
take
more...
Take solace, though, Matt, that Boston's power play was 2-for-20 coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, super.
2-for-4.
Yeah.
Leaving game one.
Right. Jake DeBrusk just killing us.
Just try and contain him.
You can't, man. You can only hope to.
Exactly.
I look at that game. You come out of the first period. Hits are 48-48, which ties the most in the league all year, except for one other game, March 7, Toronto-Boston.
Yeah, you mean 48 was the combined hits
in the first period. Yes.
Yeah.
Which, again, most hits in a period
in
any game since March.
Sorry, when you said 48-48, I was like...
No, you're right. I flubbed it.
That's a lot of hits, man.
It would have been a lot of hits.
Like 48 combined
is
a lot of hits.
Yep. And it feels a lot to me, man, like they were trying to justify a lot of their own flaws. But I'm like, yeah, but see, we can be physical with Boston. This isn't necessarily that Boston team anymore. And your boy, Joel Edmondson, by the end of the second period, was the only Leaf with no hits in the game.
Yeah, but he got hit by Reeves on that
He sure did.
On that 2-on-1, it was...
Good job, Reeves. And twice that happened. On the 1-0 goal, not twice Reeves buried one of our guys. There was a chance. I don't think it was on that fourth line shift. Maybe you remember better than me. I was consoling myself and Bacardi. That on the 1-0 goal, just before that, Toronto had had a glorious chance and missed. And Boston came back down and made it 1-0. And then before the 2-0 goal, Matthews had an awesome chance, missed, could have tied the game.
Yeah, that's one with Swayman out of the net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He rings it off the post.
Yeah.
And Boston comes back, makes it 2-0. That one, I think, is the Brandon Carlo fucking goal. Between him and what's his name? John Beecher.
Johnny Beecher.
Between the two of them, had 11 goals combined over the course of the regular season. They make it 1-2-0.
How many did Cam Fab, though?
Pete Blackburn, and people on this show might remember him from...
I'm the biggest Bruins homo.
So he's a bit of a Bruins guy. He said, nothing has ever encapsulated more. How did the Bruins keep getting away from this more than a goal of... John Beecher from Jesper Boqvist and Pat Maroon on the first shot of the game for the Bruins.
A post. Ding. The iron was singing there. The pipes were singing.
In that first period, man, like, we were lucky to only be down 1-0. You know I like to do that.
You know what, man? Fan.
Yep. We were lucky to be down only 1-0. Those posts were singing out like Sunday morning church bells behind Samsonov.
Yes, it was.
And while I didn't love Samsonov's game...
I didn't think he was terrible.
I also thought there were moments where, like, he was the reason they stayed in it a couple of times, right? Yeah. He made a couple of big saves. I didn't love his game, but I didn't hate his game. I didn't think goaltending was our big problem there. Although, their goaltending might have been our big problem there.
Yeah, goaltending was an issue.
It was an issue.
Wasn't the guy between your pipes. Yeah, and early... Right when Toronto had some pressure, as you said, not sustained, but they had some looks at the front of the net, right? Which is hard against that Bruins team. That is what they try to keep you away.
Yes, they do.
And so, and are quite successful.
Mm-hmm. And one of the problems, like Marner, you're seeing a lot more of that perimeter stuff. He's got to take it harder to the net. That'll open some things up. If he's going to stay outside, they're just going to stand on Tavares or Matthews or whoever it is. Yeah. He's going to have to, at some point, come in off the perimeter and push harder towards the net.
You got to do something different, period. Right? Like the idea that you're going
to... When they see him push to the net, someone will come for him and he'll be able to make that pass. But if you're just going to stand out there on the boards, they're going to let you be.
It was... There was a lot in that game where... And a week ago on this podcast, I talked about what a great opportunity it was for Toronto to start on the road.
Yeah.
Didn't look great last night. But to me, the idea is everything Toronto did wrong ended up in their net.
Yes.
Virtually.
That's right.
The Matthews high stick, the Domi stupid.
Three high sticking penalties. Like in the playoffs, they'll let you away with some hooks and some slashes.
Yeah.
If a stick gets up in the face, they're going to call it. They have to call it.
Puck over glass, egregious slashes like Domi had on Marchand's wrist. Like that, to me, that's a stupid penalty.
Yeah.
And it's not a tough penalty. It's not a.
That's right.
In the moment, it's a selfish, I'm trying to insert myself into a moment.
Marchand knows what to do to get you to want to retaliate on him, and you retaliated on him. And he skates away.
And he skates, and he absolutely skated away. Like, not even look over his shoulder.
You,
like, loser.
Yeah, good, man. Yep.
You won't be back next year with your one-year, $1 million contract looking somewhere else. Check Columbus again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so
Don't
to me.
Worry, Terliving will give him 3 years.
There was problems, right?
There were problems, yeah.
And they were problems that were. They were one Nylander away from
That's
winning
right.
that game.
Yep.
They weren't last night. Like that
Fuck
is
it
a.
If I can't have him.
Yeah, it's not. It's a big thing. Like it's a huge thing.
Of course, it changed the way they were going to line up. It allowed Boston to spread out their D again a little differently. It's a factor. But I'm with you. Nylander in that game doesn't change that result.
Well, and you have an opportunity. If you can go Matthews, Bertuzzi, and Domi, that's workable.
Yep.
If you can put Marner and Tavares in the second line and you can put Nylander.
He's going to bounce between that third line and then moving over to the left wing with Tavares and
if
Marner.
If you can do that, it gives them lots of options against a team in Boston that has Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
Pavel Zacha.
Yeah.
Question mark.
John Beecher.
Yeah. In terms of your centers, like down the middle, when you're able to space out those Leafs like that, it gives you an option. So
for Toronto up front should be a factor, but it's nullified without Nylander.
Right. Now, if I was to ask you if you had a chance tomorrow and you could go, I will take Pastrnak, Marchand, McAvoy, and Lindholm, or I want the Leafs big four. Just in an aside, in terms of
which, okay, yeah,
which big four is that? What you're going to say, or am I?
Can I
Riley?
Sub Riley in for
Tavares?
One, yeah, like I got to have a D if I'm going to take two of Boston's D.
I'm just talking. To me, it's pretty clear with Boston who the top four is.
Yeah.
So yeah, all right, man, I'll give you your four.
I'll go. I would take Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Riley over there for. Marchand's older. I do like McAvoy a lot. Lindholm's bounced back.
I'm talking about right now. He hasn't had a...
He's regressed.
This year has not been as good as last year.
That's right. He's regressed. If I can do that, I'll take Toronto's four. But if it's Tavares, who's... You know.
And I'm not... there is no caveat of it's starting now forever. Tonight, if I want to win a game tonight, okay. I think I'm taking the Boston four.
Right. I look at that game, man, and I go... There's a little bit of Toronto beating themselves. I saw a lot of Toronto fans saying what I said a few months ago, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because I'm going to say this isn't what happened.
Matt is wearing a sling today from throwing his shoulder out.
I do
patting
that,
himself
yeah.
on the back.
But I was saying like, okay, so we went and got Labushkin and Edmondson and Benoit, whatever. This will be the year they start to call penalties. That's not what happened. That's what Leaf fans wanted to tell themselves online last night. Those were legit penalties. You got yourself into trouble. The only one that you could go, come on, was the McCabe one, where that's a little ticky-tack based on what was going on.
Best Leaf player last night, question mark?
Might have been McCabe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
that's a surefire sign that you're not winning.
Yeah. No, for sure. And so I come all the way back, man, and I look at those... Toronto forwards that have to carry the game didn't, and you're not going to win that way. And one of the problems, and I said it when they went out at the deadline and got Labushkin and got Edmondson, someone's got to get the puck up and out of the zone and to those guys to create some sustained pressure, to be able to counterattack, these sorts of things. And that was the problem last year. And instead of going out and trying to address it, they made it worse. And yeah, we got a lot of hits with Boston. That's great. Unless that's what they're, if they're going to use hit count to determine the cup this year, then we'll probably be okay. If they're going to still count it as goals, well, that's a problem for
stupid
us.
Stupid man.
Like, idiots.
We're the out-of-the-box thinkers.
Right. So I don't think Toronto's out of it. I don't think Toronto got crushed. The scoreboard sort of says crushed, right? But I didn't feel like the game was like we got dominated start to finish. I thought at 5-on-5, it was still slanted Boston, but not terribly.
Yeah. What did the draws? I was surprised by the draws. The slant in how dominant Boston was in the circles.
Because that's not supposed to happen. That's the thing they took the biggest hit on in losing Krejci and Bergeron.
Of course.
They went from top five last year down to like 15th, 18th. They were at like 49% on the year.
And after the first period, it was like 77%. Boston dominated, and now it sort of...
That should not happen.
It should not happen.
Tavares, Kampf, and Matthews are all very, very capable faceoffs.
Probably better than anybody else that the Bruins have.
Yes, all three
of
them.
In terms of draws. Yes, all three of those guys.
Yeah.
And so when we look at puck possession and who wants that, who craves that, who needs that more.
Yeah.
You need that Leaf team to have the puck.
Yep.
And moving forward with it. So to me, that was the thing that was really telling. And there was fumbling of the puck. There was just, it wasn't a clean Leaf game. And
what are you doing with Kaly Yarncroke on power play one?
Yeah, like he's
coming off the...
He's going to be the Nylander substitute.
And I guess the counter argument would be we wanted to leave Domi and Bertuzzi down on PP2 to allow them to have something, and we'll just
load up
slot
one, man,
Yarncroke.
Give him 90 seconds. I don't give a...
Yeah. Allow Yarncroke, because he hasn't been here, to just be the Nylander. Well, he's not Nylander. Put right. Bertuzzi in front of the net or
says,
have Domi.
Yes.
Yeah. Same country, but...
Yeah.
Don't so I when I look at that game, I picked Boston to win the series. I don't feel any more today, other than the whatever percentage changed because Boston won game one.
Yep.
I don't feel like, oh, now I think Toronto's about to get slaughtered, or
right.
Or the other way where, oh no, Toronto's just gotta fix a couple things and they're actually gonna, like, I feel very similar about this series. I still think it goes a good six games.
They've played each other three times prior to this in the last 10 years, 11 years?
13, 18, 19.
7-7-7.
Right.
Like, I don't think the closeness of this series changes by what we saw last night.
I don't either. I still think it's probably going to go long. I could be wrong on that, but...
What do you do with the goaltending if you're Boston? They have alternated.
Yeah.
And Ullmark in the last 20 games... was way better than Swayman.
Yeah, he had 884, except for two one-goal games against Toronto.
Yes.
So he comes in, has another one-goal game against Toronto. Montgomery said, we learned our lesson last year. We'll stick to our plan to alternate. How do you go to that guy and go, thanks, man. We're going to Ullmark for game two.
And to me, Elliot Friedman said it best. And he,
did you see his suit?
Terrible. Did you borrow it from Harlan Sanders? Or what are you
That's
doing?
That's hilarious. Because I texted somebody last night and said, it looks like he just took a break from a sugar plantation.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I looked and went.
And I saw someone else on Twitter say, he's just too, leave him alone. He's only two herbs and spices away from creating something great.
Exactly. This is so cool. We're all on the same page.
Sounds like it, Matt.
And I say what he said was so smart because it was echoing exactly what I was saying, which was, was you come back with Swayman in the next game. And then you go to Ullmark in game three
in Toronto.
Like, to me, that makes the best sense. There's something about Swayman. Like when he was speaking to Kyle Bukauskas after the game. Did you see that at all in the post game?
No. When the buzzer went, I shut it off. Watched the end of the Jays game. I don't need to see this.
I threw the remote through the TV.
Yeah,
called
exactly.
it a night. Poured myself another stiff one. But Kyle asked him, you know, what did you think when?
Isn't it fun to dummy the Leafs?
Yeah, no, that was the second question. Was
yes, it is.
What was going through your mind when they told you were starting game one? And his response was, "It's about time."
I like that guy.
And I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Good
it's
for
like,
you, man.
I love Ullmark, Linus.
Yeah,
but I want the ball, man.
Yeah,
I want this spot, and so I like that, and it speaks to a guy with some confidence, right? Yeah. And I want to hear that from my starting goaltender, right? So I think I go back with him too in game two. I think that's wise. And if you're going to switch to keep people fresh, and that's what you've done all season.
Yeah, they like to alternate.
Then you go back, you go to Omar in Toronto and see how that goes.
Right.
Right. I just think, now if I can also go with post game, I listened to the Matthews post game interview. You know, mm-hmm. it was sort of scrum around the stall kind of thing. It wasn't up on a presser. And Marner, to me, the two of them came across as very measured. There was no.
Well, they got crushed in game one last year.
Right. And so to me, they both sounded, they didn't sound flustered. They didn't sound frustrated.
Yeah.
There wasn't, oh, woe is me. The world is crashing around us. There was, you know, we know what we did wrong. We know where we can, how to
fix
this.
Well, as you said, everything they fucked up was in the net. That doesn't always happen, right? No. Sometimes it will. Sometimes a series will go that way. But, you know, I don't think they got buried last night.
No. And I'm not sure you can count on the Bruins' power play going 2-for-5.
Right.
Especially when I was...
Well, our PK is not very good, so maybe you can.
And I was railing against their power play decision and not watching a pile of Bruins.
Sure.
Like, I watch them against the Leafs. I watch them against the Sens.
Yeah.
Occasionally... Hey, did you see Jack Edwards is retiring?
Yeah.
And so he's clearly having something akin to Parkinson's or... So
yeah,
that,
that's why I've stopped
railing against him.
The buttons that we have here that we used to use, like for the last year and a half, his voice is slowing down. He's having a hard time.
And slurring.
Yeah. And he has said it. I've seen the interview. And look, yeah. I'm not letting the guy off. I think the guy's a douche.
I think he said some terrible things
for a long time.
Such a homer.
100%. So, but I'm not going to use the couple of buttons we had.
Yeah.
Now that it sounds like, okay, there's a medical, and they, because it sounded like, and we've said it on here, it sounds like he'd had a stroke. And he said the same thing in an interview I saw him do. The first thing they looked at was, has he had some sort of stroke? And they say, no, there's something else going on that is impacting his speech and his delivery. All right, I'm going to still have my same opinion on his takes over the years. I'm not going to bust on him for whatever he's dealing with.
So right we now. Had that clip that we played at the end of last year, which we talked about here, and you're like, is he drunk?
Right.
Is he? And the question was, because there was slurring, there was a bunch of things, right?
It was, I think, when Allmark scored the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And so it really, and he's come out and he's saying, yeah, things are formulating in my mind at the same speed. Yep. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not able to articulate it.
I can't speak as quickly. I can't get there.
And so,
man, I can't imagine in that profession, especially how frustrating that would be.
100%. And so, yeah, we don't wish any ill will, but prior to that, the guy's had some terrible takes.
And he's still on the hook for those, and that's fine.
To me, he's a, you know, I don't have a lot of love for his call. And so, but I don't wish any ill will. So
I'm not going to pound on his medical issue is all we're doing here. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know where I was going with that. But what I was left.
He's retiring is what you're
saying. Yeah. But I sort of segued off on that because I was off on a tangent.
All right.
What did you make of this? There's a bunch of shit getting chanted in the crowd.
USA.
What
USA.
Did you
love that
what
one.
Is with
love
the that USA
one.
Chant?
That's America, man.
America. And I just.
We're cheering on our Canadian Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha and whatever against Austin Matthews. Like, what are you doing?
And so.
Could you please be smarter, please?
Well, and I don't expect that from Boston.
No,
from a Boston
crowd.
No, you
can't be smarter, right?
And so it's.
USA.
I am so in my living room cheering for the Bruins.
I get it.
But I'm like.
But there are moments where you're like, God, you're.
That almost makes me want to go the other way, you idiots.
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
Until I see the ones wearing the Leaf hitting each other and causing 3-on-1s.
But I love that. I did love that. I did love that. But I.
Oh, right. I'm still with the Bruins.
I did love the. And the whole. The chanting of Samsonov took me totally back to, you know, my junior C games in Lakefield. Where we'd all go down by the opposition goalie, and we don't know what his name is. He'd just chant, goalie, goalie, you suck! Anyways, invariably, it would drive the goalie crazy.
Weirdly enough, after the game last night, like I said, I shut it off immediately. I don't have much time for these panels and this whatever else.
There wasn't any, just for the record. They shut it down, and I flipped over to the recording of the Jays game.
and on YouTube, I found a 1996 like feature report from the CBC on the Jets moving to Arizona. Probably just because my algorithm has seen me searching stuff to Utah, right? Arizona moving to Utah.
Yep. Do you need a U-Haul, Matt?
So it's Mark Lee.
Oh, man.
Who does...
Fresh off track and field.
Yeah, and has covered... he often at the Winter Games calls the women's hockey tournament. Anyway, he's doing a feature presentation. And it almost came off like those Rick Mercer talking to Americans. He's going around asking, you know, what's an icing? What's what? But he does go to their IHL team. And the chant that you just did, goalie, goalie, you suck. There's a crowd. This is the part of the story where they're being complimentary. I see there are hockey fans here. They just need to be, you know, they need a little
educated boost.
And, yeah. And the goalie they're chanting at in 1996, Essenza,
playing the IHL.
You suck, Bob Essenza, man.
Nice. Former Winnipeg Jet and sure. Detroit Red Wing.
Yeah. Bob Essenza. I think he was briefly a Leaf backup now that I think, but maybe behind Potvin. Or
maybe behind Grant Fear.
He traveled around a bit.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Grant Fear is a Toronto Maple Leaf.
When I look at this Leafs-Bruins series, the percentages go down when you lose game one, but otherwise I don't feel any different about
this series. I think if the Leafs win game two,
yeah.
To me, you're right where you hope to be,
yep.
A draw in Boston.
This was always, to me, sort of a 55-45 Boston, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, win game two and see what happens.
And to me, they are a team that had 15 overtime losses.
This is not those Bruins, right? There's no Chara. There's no Bergeron.
And
no
so,
McQuaid. No,
no Horton.
Trent Thornton.
Yeah.
No Horton. Nice.
No Campbell.
Sure. Like,
honestly, look at all these guys. There you go.
They're going to miss that Brian Campbell.
Yeah.
Not Brian Campbell. No.
Colin Campbell's kid.
Yeah. Sean? No.
Anyways, former Panther.
That Campbell guy.
Yeah, Campbell. See, that's why I thought
it was. Soupy, I'm sure, is
the name. Yeah. You just let me go with the Campbell. It sounded smart, but now we need another.
Now we're down here.
You went with the Brian, and now I'm
kicking around in the mud.
It's not Brian.
No.
And I don't know what the guy's name is. But yeah, it is. I don't know where I'm going. It's a throw up.
That's what the Leafs definitely did in game one.
I don't know,
it's
man.
It's time to get out of here.
I don't know. Just quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whatever, we're done. We can move away from that and we'll see what happens.
We sure will.
Anything in particular you have your eye moving on forward here?
Yeah. As you and I sit here now, we're just an hour or two away from Jets Avs. I think that's going to be solid. And I'll be curious to see Edmonton. Actually, there's a bunch out west, man. Dallas Vegas has the potential to be really good.
Well, and there's two games. Is it tonight or tomorrow night where both there's a 9:30 and a 10 o'clock start? And you're like, why would you
Well,
not?
Today they've gone all day. Like they
yeah, so
had the Rangers.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, Leafs are also on Monday.
Oh, right. There's that.
Yeah. That whole thing.
Ah, sorry. I forgot about that. It must be tonight. There must be the two games at 9:30. Edmonton play tonight?
No, Vancouver plays tonight and Winnipeg plays tonight. So it must be tomorrow that's Dallas Vegas.
In a quick hitter?
Yeah.
Vancouver, Nashville.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Vancouver.
I think I'm going with Nashville.
Okay.
I think, and I'm going with the Jets. I think I'm fully on the Jets over the Avalanche.
You're going to make those hella bucks.
Well, he's already made his hella bucks.
You're going to bet and make those hella bucks.
Yeah. There you go, man.
Yeah.
I just think. There's some interesting things there. I
think I picked Winnipeg.
And I think Edmonton's just
I only
do
one playoff pool every year.
I think Edmonton's going to roll.
It's with a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old because I think I'm going to win there.
Yeah.
Often lose.
You have a 66% chance.
Sure do, man.
And I think Edmonton's just going to roll the Kings. Like, I think this is a short one.
Well, it's too bad. You think Nashville is going to take out Vancouver because Vancouver-Edmonton in round two would guarantee, well, first of all, it'd be a pretty fun series, but. Would guarantee a Canadian team in the conference final. I don't think Nashville's for real.
I just think I'm not sure
that U2 hangover's got to be.
You're looking at Demko with one game back against Calgary.
Yeah,
you're asking a lot. You're asking a lot for a team that's kind of been 500 in the second half of the season. Vancouver.
I'm asking him to stop Philip Forsberg, and that's about it.
How dare Gus Nyquist is saying "fuck you, Matt."
He said it a time or two.
Yeah. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times.
I said
times.
It to him in the summer of 2020 in the bubble when he was a Blue Jacket. That fucking Gus Nyquist.
Yeah. See? So there it is, man.
Yeah.
He's polishing it off. He's getting ready to go. Let's do this. Anyways, all right. That's that's an interesting, we differ on, just on one, I guess.
Oilers win, Jets win, Canucks win.
Oilers win, Jets win.
Stars win.
Preds win, Stars win, I think. All right, so we're 75% in agreement there.
Which means 75% of those teams are in trouble. That's where we'll wrap this one up.
Probably.
Lever Sage, allegedly back in studio this week. Supposed to be your Tuesday afternoon, which means for you, good listener, a Wednesday morning drop. And then there'll probably be other stuff later. We'll figure that out as the week goes
on. Check back for good shit.
Or, you know, some shit.
Yes.
I'm not going to promise it's going to be good. For Rob, my name's Matt. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you later on this week.
See ya.
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.